Radio House, Luke De Benedictis and Jack Carton.
Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back after a brief hiatus to basically, yes, well, obviously babies and work and life have been busy for us this year. So
what we're basically trying to say is if you want to try and run a podcast regularly, then don't have kids.
Yes, they do take up a lot of time, but it's all worth it. Anyway, we're back, we're here, we're going to talk about a little bit about the our season in OCR in the UK and then look ahead towards Abu Dhabi.
Yeah, definitely sure. Abu Dhabi, woohoo! Where do we even start when we did the podcast? Let's get back to the start of the season because I know it's a long while ago, but I feel like we haven't really spoke much about Spartan or OCR, considering we're supposed to be a Spartan podcast, that we haven't really spoken much about Spartan at all, have we? So let's go back to the start of the season. Obviously, we were late starting, which I thought about last night, actually. Like, if you think about it, that Wales event that we've just come off the back of, that should have been in June, you know? So we were obviously late starting with COVID. How different that race could have been last week in, like, even if it had just been dry and nice weather, how different that could have been. I listened to another podcast and they were saying that, you know, did it make it? And I think a part of me believes that this year we've been very lucky with weather. Yeah. And we all know that, I mean, I can't say too much because I failed enough obstacles this year, but we all know that Spartan obstacles aren't technical enough to really put you out there. And they're not, you know, they're not a barbarian race. It's not even a nuclear, I would say, is more technical, you know. But what they are is if you're absolutely battered from the terrain, potentially a really bad bag carry, or, you know, just general shitty conditions, I do feel the Spartan obstacles are quite challenging because they're in such a way that you do need to use your grip through a Spartan race in a very weird way. It's not like there's nunchucks and ropes, but if you think about it, everything is very grip dominant, like everything from a rope to a bag carry to a monkey set of monkey bars all in a row. You know, if the conditions are favorable, then there's a good chance you might be doing burpees. And I think that's happened an awful lot this year where we've finished and we've crossed the race and we've gone, shit, you know, that Z wall was hard, or, you know, that block wall took a little bit, or this or that, you know. I do think conditions have played into that this year.
Yeah. I think all you got to look at is where they put the monkey bars in Wales and how many people actually failed the monkey bars.
Yeah. Which is crazy, you know, like monkey bars is something like, for instance, I failed it both days and it cost me both days. Effectively, it cost me positions, but, you know, good positions. And it is weird looking back now, you think, why did I fail monkey bars of all things? You know, come on. But then you put into this consideration, you know, like, for instance, I put probably 40 seconds into the field in that bag carry. Now, it sounds silly, but I was gripping with my right hand like heck on that bag because as guys that did Wales, there was about, I think it was just over nearly half a mile of bag carry. And some of it was literally you could have broken your ankles. It would have been hard enough on your own, especially with that head torch, Luke, which we'll get to. But I'm realizing that I'm gripping that bag really hard because I must be thinking, oh Christ, footing. Then you put that bag down, you run a little bit, you don't think about your grip too much. But what you forget is your grip is probably still like going screaming. But because you're not using it, then you get things to like, they're very clever at that beast. They're very clever where they put trial in traverse. And all of a sudden you're back on your grip again. Then it was Olympus, grip again. Then it was Twister, grip again. Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden you're back to back with grip. And that horrible bloody climbing pegboard thing on stairway, another grip obstacle. But having said that, I'm getting ahead of myself with obstacles here. What I'll come back to is we've been very favourable with weather this year. If you look at the weather, we've actually done really well. You know,
we've had lovely weather.
So to have one shitty race weather-wise, really, it makes for it. I didn't mind. I loved every second of it, to be fair.
No, it's good. I remember 2017, maybe, I think it was, when we went up to Edinburgh and it was terrible weather. And then we had Windsor and it was terrible weather.
Yeah.
It just like the end of the season was just a bog.
Do you think that 2017 beast at Scotland, the real tough one, do you think that was do you think that was worse weather than Wales we've just had?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think personally,
I can't remember, but
I think that was the hardest race that I've done in the UK. Yeah. I remember going on an obstacle and the wind was so bad when I went over the top.
Blowing you sideways. Went,
it was crazy.
I do remember that, running those fit. And I think that's because actually within what was like I liked about Wales, actually, and we'll come back to the full course in a minute, but what I liked about Wales, it wasn't ridiculously open. So actually we only really went in two open fields towards the end. A lot of it was within the valley or within the woods. So you felt sheltered. Whereas Scotland 2017, if I remember, they put you up those bloody hills, which was just open.
There and it was no just forest.
Sideways rain, just battering you in the face and
blah, blah, blah. Brutal. But yes, so what we're talking about, weather, and then looking back. So we started off in Midlands, HQ of Spartan. So quite a nice venue, one that we're probably going to visit every year, I would suggest.
Yeah, mainly because for you guys that don't know, Spartan basically rent off the land at Midlands to basically store all their stuff. So I think it's always going to be at Midlands. Most of the big races, like your Hurricane Heats, if they'll do them at Midlands and stuff like that, won't they? Just because
they next year they're going to do... They're doing a beast there. They've never done a beast at Midlands. So it's going to be real interesting about how they structure a beast race next year. I'm guessing they got a few extra fields or a bit of extra forest.
The best thing with Midlands is they've got permission to dig and make stuff. So you always get rolling mud at Midlands. You always get water at Midlands, even if it's just like pits water, not necessarily a swim. I think we should probably release a little bit what we heard from Spartan, what's coming out of Spartan, to make everyone a little bit juicy. I don't know if we can say anything, but we will. What they're hoping to do next year is make each individual event a little bit special. So they haven't told us what or where, but what I'm gathering it will be is Midlands will be the muddy, horrible dunk wall type event, I think, because it's the one where they can dig the land up and make mud mile and all that sort of thing.
They can, but depends again. I think it's the similar time of year, so it's not going to be terrible weather. It's going to be quite nice weather, to be fair.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, the only one next year that's sort of towards the back end is Pippenford, which is the European champs. Every other one is what, May, June, July, isn't it? July, August, or whatever it is. May, June, July.
And relative, I believe there's around about a month gap in between most of the races, which is quite kind.
From a point of view of actually training properly and professionally, it's actually a really good set out for us.
It's really a nice kind of set out, especially with the Euros being at the back end of the year, because then we can per se do our three races and then we can really, really focus on those European Championships for all the UK races.
Which I think everyone will do. I apologise if you can hear a baby Margot screaming in the background. I don't know if you can or not, but she's obviously not liking something. We had Midlands kicking off the season. Personally, that's one of my favourite places to go. I do like the Midlands course. I like that punchy up and down hills, not too hilly, a little bit of flat, bit of downhill to make up the pace. I didn't have a very good year this year. Numerous things. I didn't enjoy the start of the year. It took me until like this week on to actually get involved with racing this year. But normally I like Midlands, and Midlands is a great course. So I look forward to that next year. You did quite well at Midlands, didn't you, in the series race, Luke? That's where you started your reign of podiums for this year.
I did.
With a second, I do believe.
Yeah, I think Midlands was kind of a good course, a bit flatter, a bit, like you say, punchy kind of hills. They've got in that kind of field at the end, but there is quite a lot of flat and downhill to kind of get a good pace going. The one thing I would say, Midlands had quite short carries, and then progressively through the year, the carries have got longer.
Yeah, I don't know if they've been listening to me moan on Instagram or whatever, but I was thinking this the other day. I was like, the carries have gone from being like ridiculously nothing to like that one in Wales. Like, I was just loving life.
That one in Wales is kind of like what I would call a normal carry for
what
Spartan.
It used to be. Spartan. Yeah, what it used to be. Yeah, like proper, you know that the top boys are just going to die on that. You know, like the ones that don't like carrying, that is. And I'm sure Jason won't mind me saying, because he's one quick to say, fuck this, you know, as you go past him. But, you know, for me, that's what Spartan racing is. I know people say, what is Spartan racing? It's not really an OCR. It hasn't got the obstacles, blah, blah, blah. But for me, that is a massive part of Spartan racing, that you know that at one point in that whole race, you're going to be going, oh my goodness, why? Oh, why? And we do it like this hurts. Yeah. Good old bucket carries, you know, like good old shit, my back is about to seize up type of attitude. And I love that. I love that feeling of like, actually, Jonas Senna's doing his thing here. He's making his question, you know, he's making his challenge. And I just feel like those first few races, like it wasn't really a challenge. It was more of who could be the fastest. And that's nothing on you, you know, Tom, the guys that were doing fast, because you guys have had to train and do really well to get there. Fair play. Hold my hands up. Well done. You beat everyone else. However, I would say that, like, it just shows how mixed up that last few races were, like the Pippenford Super, the Beast yesterday, you know, last week, because actually Spartan, for some reason, went back to their roots. And whether that's because it was Wales and whether it was Pippenford, two new events that they went, let's mix it up. I just hope they don't lose that. I hope they try and stick that, you know, that rawness of how Spartan used to be and what I fell in love with Spartan for.
I think if they're talking about having these kind of
mixed modes,
mixed stuff for races, I think they should keep doing like what they did this year. Have one race, maybe the carries aren't so long, but they're quite flat and they're going to be super fast. One race, the carries are going to be quite difficult and the terrain's a bit sketchy. Mix it up, because then it brings out different people. You got to really try to get on podiums and push yourself, and it just it absolutely pains you to try and get there to the top. But I think all of the races this year, they did a really good job of setting it out and giving a different style pretty much to each race, so it wasn't the same race.
Yeah, no, definitely, 100%. I agree with you. And a part of me thinks, oh Jesus, here we go. They're going to have a bit like Ireland was, wasn't it? They're going to have the fast race. They're going to have the slow, horrible race. They're going to have the cold, wet race. You know, like that
just
type
bring
of
back Ireland, please.
However, a part of me thinks, oh fuck that. I want to have heavy. I want to have a 5 mile carry for every race, please, because that's going to suit me. However, I realise that actually, no, it's better to have that. Oh my God, Luke's going to be better on this course. Tom's definitely going to be much better on this course because it's a runner's course or blah, blah. I understand that. And I think that's definitely coming down from the top of US, isn't it? To say, look, UK, this is the way we want to go towards Spartan racing. This is how we want things to be. Because I do eventually think that's how world champs will go. I do think we'll eventually get a super world champs, a beast world champs, a sprint world champs, a stadium world champs. I think eventually, once Spartan have got their ass together and realised what they actually want to do in life, that's the way we'll go. And there will be specialists. There will be a specialist. And the reason I say this is because, obviously, we've got a little bit of information to do Abu Dhabi, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I've realised the team race in Abu Dhabi, which is interesting, is a relay style rather than everyone runs together. Now, in the past, Spartan have always done everyone runs together. If one person fails, you do the burpees, you do it all together. Now, it's going to be over a super. Each person gets a 3K section, and then obviously I assume you finish it off at the end. So, which means there's going to be a specialist. So, for instance, if one of the section, a bit like they have at the Worlds, Adventure Worlds, you know, if there's a carry section, you want your guy that can carry on there. If there's a obstacle dent section, you want the guy that can do that. If there's a hill section, you want the guy. So actually, they're really sort of, every part of Spartan is becoming very individual to the unique area now, isn't it?
Wow, that team event sounds very much like Spartan cross team style racing.
And I'm probably going to be told off for saying all that now, but bollocks, it's going to come out anyway. So that's how they're doing it, guys. Well done. There's the new hot take.
It'll be interesting. Matt B would say. So Midlands came and went, and then we had quite a big break. We actually, what was Midlands, July, and then we didn't race again till September because
it felt like a long time.
Yeah, Wales was moved from the front to the back of the year, We kept ourselves busy by going to do Europe's Toughest Mudder.
Oh, we did, yeah. Forgot about that.
Jack's forgotten already. It was, pretty cool and a pretty amazing experience to do such like a long style race. What was it, 12 hours in the end? Pretty successful, pretty fun, pretty one of my most enjoyable races of the season.
I think that's the last time we did a podcast. So there is a podcast out there on that. So if you're interested in more information on that, there is one out there somewhere with us.
Yes, delve back into our archive and see the ETM review. But yeah, I thought that was a great race.
What I would say is that's the first time I've gone to a Tough Mudder where I've been a Spartan dude, if you like. And Jesus, what a difference. I just remember being in the festival area going, this feels so different. It feels so strange, but actually still quite good. It was like, I don't know, there's no pressure on that race because it wasn't, although we were there to do well and personally, you know, get as many miles as we can, that whole competitive edge wasn't there. It was more out there for, we're going to have fun. Until the start line, until Luke decided that he wanted to keep up with Sean Merriweather and we were going to go out at fucking ridiculous mile pace. But until little Jack blew up because he wasn't quite where he wanted to be at that point of his summer.
About half a mile from the end. No,
I'm dying. Luke, dying. Stop running away. Jack basically decided that he wasn't going to train this year and he was going to sit on his ass and try and get away with it. And that slowly just realised that wasn't going to happen. Running 15, 10 mile a week is not going to help keeping up with Luke to Benedict. That's for sure. Wasn't till about three weeks to the end of the year I thought, you know what, I better start training.
Go for a run today.
Go for a run today. So we did that. That was brilliant. And then we went into, where did we go to there? Scotland, of course we did. And then it all came thick and fast.
It did, pretty much. Once we went up to Scotland, then it was pretty much everything was in back end of September, the beginning of October and the end of October. So we had three race venues within 5 weeks, six weeks maybe.
Which actually, like we've just said a minute ago, either makes you or breaks you. If you're racing well, it's brilliant for races to come that quickly. If, however, you're like me going, oh my God, I've only got a week to the next race, it's hard work. It's tough. And I'm sure you would admit this, Luke. I mean, that year, 2 years ago, when I had quite a good year where I just seemed to be hitting podiums without trying, I think it's a confidence thing. It's a bit like you talk about football, right? Let's talk about Harry Kane right at the minute. I'm a Spurs fan. You know, you cannot clearly say, you know, he's the world-class player, but he clearly isn't hitting he's not doing it right now. Now, is that because he's a shit athlete? Of course it's not. He's one of the best strikers in the world. Mentally, there's a problem there, you know, for whatever reason. And the same for this is where the sports science side of things and the mental side of things comes in. Whether you're running age group, whether you're running elite, whether you're running even open, do you know what I mean? I'm sure there's open guys out there going, oh my God, I can't do it because I failed this and I failed. I mean, I hear it all the time being a coach. Oh, I can't do that. I can't even get over this. I can't do that. And it's like, yes, you can. It's just up here because you're saying those things, you know, you're already putting blockers up. And I know I definitely did that for Scotland. And I kept saying to myself, it's only 5K. It's only 5K. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's only 5K. We can get through this. But obviously 5K keeping up with you boys is hard work.
It was a pretty brutal 5K though.
It was fast, yeah.
And the day before we did the Beast, which
silly or clever, it's up to you. Silly. Yeah. Mm.
It was, I actually really enjoyed that beast course. Yes, that was my favourite course per se of the whole year. So that was
Drumlander Castle. Basically, we shouldn't have been there. We should have been somewhere over towards Edinburgh. I forget the name of the place now, but we should have been there. Obviously, they got the council pulled the licence within a week to go of the event. So they said, don't worry, we're going to use the Tough Mudder event, which is where it's used for Tough Mudder. So we all managed to get into Drumlander Castle. I know that area very well because my dad actually lived there for 30 years. So I knew the castle, knew the area. I knew it wasn't ridiculously hilly. So that was kind of pleasing that I wasn't going to go into some ridiculous amounts of hills. But actually the course, I thought, again, I actually really enjoyed that. In fact, I say it again, I've enjoyed the whole season. I think all the courses. And I think next year, depending on what Henley's like, and we'll get into that in a second, I think next year could be the best year for Spartan course-wise. I generally do think they've now got quite clever with courses. Yeah. Of course, we do know that we're not going back to Scotland next year. That is done. And I think we can pretty much confirm that there is no more venues. It is just going to be the four next year that we've had that confirmed to us. Again, I'm probably breaking people's hearts out there that, you know, but it is, I've been told on very good authority that there is only four venues next year. And there will be no Scotland, unfortunately. Scottish Northern people, we do apologise. Because we loved it. I actually quite enjoyed going to Scotland. I felt like I've had like four mini holidays this year just going around the country.
That was pretty much it.
So Scotland again, quite short carries in Scotland, didn't really give me enough to keep up with you boys. I really struggled on the beast. I just sort of about 20 minutes in, I realised that I was nowhere near in touch with the top five, so I just backed off and just pretty much ran the whole thing by myself, coming in at like 10th or whatever. I think I came in at the end, but the beast was a little bit different. I found myself in the mix with the beast, and that's where it all went peak tong. I failed the block wall at the very end.
For the sprint,
slipped off the block wall. And then missed a spear. So I think I went from in contention of being fifth, fourth, third into eighth, I think, in the end. But that's how it goes, isn't it, sometimes?
Fortunately so, especially when it's the series, because points
mean prizes!
The point differential goes very low once you drop out of the top.
It's stupid. Can we all agree that the series point system? But look, we've said this every year, right? And don't get me wrong, because if you get top three, which, let's be fair, if you get a top three position in a series race, hands down, fair play. You have beaten some of the best UK racers out there, because I think we'll say, Luke, and even the age groups, I do believe, looking down at some of the age group times, even last night I was doing it. Some of the guys we've got out there at the minute, this has been the most competitive year, which is brilliant, absolutely amazing. Yeah. We were saying it, weren't we, after Wales. We think some of the age groups will step up next year. Some of the girls as well. I'm looking at some of the girls that are in age groups that need to be in elite next year, by the way. There is some seriously fast girls out there.
There was only nine elite females that finished the series on the series podium. Overall, there was nine. Two of those girls only raced one race each.
Jade and
one race, Katie.
Yeah, Katie Sitwell. I mean, let's be fair, girls. I mean, I don't suggest this, but I do if you want to get a bit of money. I said to Emily, Jesus, you could have walked around with Margot and won yourself some money. You know what I mean? Like, I know that's not the idea of the thing, but all I'm saying to you is, I mean, potentially you've got to be in it to win it.
It's not, but also if you've got to look at other sports like triathlon, there is like obviously a key thing, right? I need to get my rank into a certain position so I can earn X amount of money. I understand that this is not livelihood for people. Yeah. We're not earning nowhere near money of America we're earning. It's not huge, but
and probably rightly so, because we're probably not racing the level that America are racing. You know, if you get some of those Americans over here, me and you would be nothing. It's all levels, isn't it?
He's gonna run everybody away. But the thing is that if we want it to be a sport and you want to like improve,
advance,
it's while the top three is amazing, if you're say you're generally coming in seventh and eighth, you should still be striving to finish, right? I want to finish sixth in the series overall. That should be a strive.
We've been there. I remember talking to you 5 years ago going, right, Luke, I know we're different training plans, we're racing against each other, but what's your aims this year? And we would sit there and go, right, we want to be top 10. You know, I remember for a long time it was top 10. Then it was, we want to be top five, you know. Then it was, Luke, I remember saying to you last year, what's your aim this year? And you'd say to me, I want to be hitting podiums every race. Yeah. What's Luke done this year? Hit podiums most races, unless he's got lost, missed an obstacle or doing something silly. Do you know what I mean? In general, you've been there. You've been the one to beat. Everyone's gone, Luke de Benedict, Tom Tidwell, Tom Luke de Benedict. You know, like, dude, we've been there. We've been 10th and being beaten, you know, and we've even some of the best guys, you know, if you look back at who we've raced, Connor, Tristan, even like the French guys when they came over for the Scotland, you know, that's some big names.
First few years, definitely 2017, 2018, I was very proud to come top 10.
Yeah.
Very proud, because I knew those 10 guys were the best 10 guys in England.
In fact, that Scotland race we talked about earlier where it was blizzard rain.
Yeah.
Who won that race? Second was Johnny Luna Lima, who is now Big Bear world champion. And The other guy is Cole Swartz, who...
Cole Swartz came second.
Who is tiny. Those boys are tiny. Do you know what I mean? And then Mixa Jule was there, and, you know, all the French guys, you know, we were mixing it up with those boys. And it's like, Christ, you know, little old Jack that doesn't really do a lot is mixing it up with the big boys here, you know?
Well, that's it. Yeah. You go to maybe Europe, and they kind of take the top 10 and the top five a little bit more, because on the series podium, they have the top five guys there, and they all have the top three have podium plaques with checks. The fourth and fifth have their checks at European.
Yeah, we need to sort that out. We need to sort that out in UK, by the
way. At the European champs, they generally get the top 10 up on the stand, which is very common in big trail running events. UTMB, top 10. They celebrate.
I'm not sure the Spartan Stadium, the Spartan stage would hold 10 of us.
Well, those small little trailer back. But, but yeah, you see other races, they do celebrate the top 10 as being a very big achievement. It's quite quite highly taught, touted to get a top 10 place at Western States. I know they're huge races, but Spartan... We'll go there at some stage.
Of course. Like, it's already there in America, isn't it? So
yeah, it's already there in America. It's getting a lot bigger. I think we will start getting there in the UK, especially now you are getting paid to 10th in the series events.
My worry is, and do you think this will ever happen? Do you think Spartan will ever look at it and go, well, do you know what? We've tried the elite thing. It didn't really work. No one turned up. Let's revert back to top. You know, like I hope they don't go backwards, you know, because that could be a nightmare.
This is the first year they've taken a step forwards in terms of paying for non-series events.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, they will keep that as a standard, because it is the same standard as America. And America have had that for years. It hasn't changed for like 4 or 5 years in America. It's always been 1 to 10 in series, 1 to 3 in non-series, and then... 1 to 10 in overall series payments.
Yep.
So I think that will just stay. That will be it. Now that is as it's going to be. If anything, maybe they'll put a bit more money into trail, because
they need to sort that out, because I feel like none of us lot are going to do the trail. You know, you're not going to get you. You're not going to get Tom. Yeah. You're not going to get any of us. If there's also a series race, or we've raced a beast the day before, you know, like. It's, I don't know. I mean, if they maybe start paying more money for the trail, maybe you would go from a Super Sunday to a trail race, maybe.
Well, you got to think it's pretty crazy that they even pay for trail, because not many other trail running events in England pay you to win, hardly at all. I think I won a trail event once and I got some cheese. I'm not joking. I got some cheese, and I got, I think, some craft beer from the local brewery, which was lovely, very enjoyable. But it's not. Spartan are giving away £125 for first place for a trail run.
Yeah.
So it's pretty crazy. Right, we're going off track. Back.
Yeah, where do we go? Then, so from Scotland to Pippinford. First year I've ever raced it. I've never raced it ever. Let's talk about, that's when the lights started to go. I remember it was turned up and it was foggy. You couldn't see a thing. You didn't realize how hilly it was. Again, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, Pippinford. What a pretty good venue. This is where the elevation really started playing a factor.
I got caught out massively caught out by Pippinford. I didn't realise. I mean, I heard everyone go, oh, yeah, there's some hills in there and blah, 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 blah. But Jesus, I mean, I actually thought that was hillier than Wales, which I don't know if it was. I haven't looked at the...
Only just less. So I think the main difference, personally, what I noticed between Pippinford and Wales, it was 2,500, I think, for Pippinford, and 2,800 it ended up being for Wales for the Beast. But the main difference was the terrain we went up on. The terrain you went up on in Wales was a bit more treacherous. Sticks, leaves, mud, waterfalls.
So slower, basically.
So a lot slower, but the terrain we went up on in Pippinford was a bit more runnable, long hills that just continued, but the ground was solid.
How long did it take you to Pippinford?
Hour and 50 something.
Okay, and we were 2 hour plus for
I think 10, you were 2:15, weren't you?
2:15, but I did a set of burpees. But yeah.
Well, call it two. I think Tom did 2:10.
2:10, yeah. And I saw Tom cross the line as I got to the monkey bar. So about 2:10, 2:12.
So yeah, I think it's about 20-minute difference to what Tom's time was.
Okay, that's crazy. So yeah, that it just shows you how much. I mean, personally, that's what I prefer. I prefer that ruggedness of the floor being. It slows everyone down. You really have to work hard. But Pippin for Jay was a lot more of a runner's game, wasn't it? You had to really, you could get some speed up on those hills if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think the back end, like you definitely saw the European guys that came over. There was a couple in the field. The guy that
Manuel.
Won, Manuel, he just obliterated the uphill and stayed with Tom all the way around.
Well, that's fair. That's going to be obvious. You know, that guy lives, you know, in the Dolomites, training on ridiculous vert every day. Of course, he's going to have powerhouse legs, you know, like,
but it's
that's
going
to happen.
Yeah, but Pippingford is not Morzine. Pippingford is not Dolomites. It's not Andorra. No. It's not a absolute mountain, a brutal uphill course that is going to decimate us. I'm actually very excited for next year to have that as the European champs, because I think it's a course that the Brits, all of us, can perform well on that.
Oh, I'd like to think that everyone that was Spartan elite this year, so the top 10, 15, maybe a few of the age group, I'd think they could all be in the top 50. Easy. It should
for
be.
Sure.
You know, and someone like Tom should be aiming for top 10. Do you know what I mean?
I think as well, looking at some of the females, we've got some of the strongest female athletes in our field.
Yeah,
and they only really get outdone when they go to Europe because the hills are so brutal.
Yeah, 100%.
What did Nikki finish 11th this year in Verbier, and Andreas finished in the top six or seven before in Morzine, which is crazy. I really think those girls have got a great chance of being in the top 10, even a podium.
Yeah, why not? Really, you've got it. Yeah, why not?
If they really push towards the end, I really think they could hit a few podiums.
It's funny because that Italian Manuel Macaron, who came over, I tried to talk to him after the race, and I was just basically trying to ask him what he thought of the course. He didn't speak a lot of English. I got little words, but basically he basically said that, you know, like he thinks a lot of Europeans will struggle. Like they won't be expecting that rugged, even though we thought that was fast, flat, nice trail, he still thought that was quite rugged. And I suppose if you, like you say, every European race we've done, even Morzine, which was 8,000 feet of climbing, absolutely brutal, you know, at least most of those tracks were like fire track, stony, they were runnable. Even the trail was open, single track trail that you could run down, you know, whereas even in Pippinford, which we would say single track trail, it wasn't. I mean, that little bit through the ferns was absolutely lush. I loved running that on the super the next day with you. It was like we were just cruising through there at like 5:40s, 5:50s. It was absolutely amazing.
Europe and per se American races do end up a lot of time being on actual trail, like
pathways, basically.
Pathways, and they're quite runnable because it's quite hard, it's quite solid. Even the uphills, generally, sometimes they're on some kind of pre-made pathway, or that you do have like quite a solid footing.
Could you imagine if the Europeans had been at Wales? Those Europeans would go apeshit.
it's a different style of running. I think Wales was, for me, the most brutal and hardest course, just because there wasn't too many places you could really, really run. It was a slog. It was a grind.
Yeah, it was a grind.
It was one foot after the other. I'm actually surprised my legs don't hurt as bad.
My legs don't hurt at all. And I was just about to say that. Do you know what? My legs hurt so much after Pippinford. Like, they felt heavy. I was back to training on Monday. I actually was like, do you know what? Why am I, like, this sounds silly. And don't do what I do. But I thought to myself, why am I having a full rest day? You know, like, actually, I don't feel any ill effect from this racing. I got on the bike and I felt pretty fine.
I got on the bike Monday and Tuesday and I felt pretty decent.
I do believe that's because a lot of the uphill, like you say, because it was slower and it was less running, it was more trouncing, trumping, trying not to absolutely scrape your legs to crap. I think obviously because you're going at that slower pace, you're not putting the impact through your legs. It's, you know, and actually there wasn't a lot of hard impact downhill. Whereas Pippenford, there was a lot where you could really open up down. Whereas in Wales, because the down was so down, you had to almost, you know, and even that real steep bit of down where you got lost, which we'll talk about in a minute, it was all soft ground. It was all literally 3 inches of just leaf or soft, like, you know, like undergrowth, moss ground. So you could absolutely pile down there because other than impaling yourself on a tree, there was not a lot that could go wrong impact-wise.
Well, you got to think, as we said, the weather probably would have been a lot different if we went earlier in the year. Maybe it would have been a lot harder. Maybe it would have been even more treacherous because everything would have been dry. So there would have been a lot more rocks, a lot more just kind of like solid footing. So interesting that the time of year will maybe change it up next year because it's at its original time. We diverse. So yes, Pippingford came and went. I thought a great venue. I thought it's going to be an amazing location for England to host.
Here's a question for you then, Luke. What would you change? Like now, you're Spartan Pro. You've just been, you've just been employed by Spartan to create the course for Pippingford next year. What would you change? The start, surely. The start has to be different. You can't have that single, tight, turn.
No, with
200 of the world's best going off.
So we went off and then we did turn, and then we went off into the forest, like at the last little corner. I would just send us into the forest. I'd put the start right at the edge of the village and just let us go into that foresty bit first and send us out there. When we went out that way, there was the rope climb, the Z wall, and those other bits in like a field over there.
Yeah, that's right.
I would just move the walls and the over under outs. I would just put them in that field and open it up a lot.
So have a bit of a run first to get everyone a bit open.
Which
is what they tend to do in European races, isn't it? Like I remember Tahoe, and it was, I know it's world champs, but we ran like 2 miles before we hit anything. But that's because you wanted to open the field up. Yeah.
Yes. So I would probably do some of that, or I would send us around the outside of that field and one loop and just make it double the size width and don't do turn. I would just send us outside in one like circle and then off into the forest and just put the walls there.
They need double walls, don't they? They need more walls because still now, even with like, interestingly, Wales I noticed, even though there was only 20 of us in the wave, we're still kicking each other. We're still hitting each other. We're still getting each other's way in the walls. And I always get wrong behind the wrong bloody person. I always need to go behind you because I know that you can get over a wall bloody quickly. Yeah. I got stuck behind Fergal on the space and I got stuck behind Mark Dixon getting over it like an idiot on the super. Bloody hell. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's a 4-foot wall. Well, we're going to have, 200 athletes on the start line in the elite?
Yeah, if not more.
So it's going to be pretty crazy. But anyway, that is Spartan's decision to create a lovely course. Fingers crossed, I'm sure they'll do one. I enjoyed the run-in. I enjoyed the venue. I think it's given anybody who's going to race there next year a great idea of what to train and how to be ready. So I'm expecting the age groupers to do really well, bring home some titles, definitely in the male and female.
Yeah.
Maybe Mr. Alban will make an appearance and dominate.
I'm sure he will. It suits him, doesn't it? Let's be fair.
Yes, definitely. Well, he'll obliterate that course if he turns up.
Well, he's raced them. He must have raced them many times. He must have done so many races there.
Oh, there was the toughest race event there a couple of years, so I'm sure he did the toughest. I can't remember. Yeah. I actually did that race, and I think he was there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's definitely raced Pippinford at different times. So, yes, Pippinford. And then we went to Wales. Wales has been like the last weekend, probably the one we remember the most. A successful return to the podium for Jack.
Yay!
Taking third after trying every event.
To be fair, mate, I went into it and my mindset was basically forget the result, forget everyone around me. All I want to do, I had three aims. I knew it was going to be hilly. So my first aim was not to redline the hills because it's very easy to get into those hills and go, oh, I'm just going to push. But I knew, and I've been there before where you've been on a race and you've pushed the first hill and then it gets to the second hill and the third hill and you just have got nothing left in your legs. And then you end up going, my legs are aching. I'm not where I want to be. I'll back off and enjoy the race. Whereas that's not where you want to be, you know. So I just basically, fortunately, I had at that point, that first big hill after the sandbag. I mean, I spoke to you before. The Wales course suited me because the two big climbs was a carry before. So I could absolutely destroy the carry, get myself a bit of distance, giving myself a bit of a lead going into a hill, knowing that someone like Brunnock, yourself, might chase me down, you know. Yeah. And that happened on both race courses. On the Beast, I got a 30-second lead over you and Brunnock. I got started that climb. That's the super. So the Beast, I did the course. I managed to catch back up to Tom, Mo and Brunnock. Basically stuck with Mo and Brunnock up that hill. Brunnock took the lead and I thought, do you know what? Brunnock's not moving so fast that I'm out of my control level here. Yeah. Mo started to really struggle and he backed off. I think then you started to come up and it was brilliant because it was you, me and Brunnock all within 10 seconds of each other. No one else I could see. So in my mind, it was a case of, right, and now I know what I need to do. I need to stay with these boys, not redline myself, control through the obstacles, just get through everything clean. And I don't know if you do it, but I tick off the obstacles in my head. So as you get through one, you go, right, control, done that one, now on two. And I try and remember the map. So I knew that, for instance, on the course, I knew that as soon as we got to Trining Traverse, I knew it was Olympus, I knew it was Twister, I knew it was Bucket. So basically, I tried to work in my brain at each section in little sections rather than the whole race. Whereas the rest of the year, I've just focused on the whole race. Yeah. And not really take, and then I've made mistakes because I've not focused on the game in hand at that time. So I tried to segment it into little areas. So like, right, this is the hill, keep with Brunnock, right, downhill. And I just found myself in a situation where Brunnock went backwards and I didn't realise where you'd got, like, I didn't know you'd got, like, at that point I had run Brunnock away and I was going down that hill and I flew and I looked around and I was like, there's no one with me. And I suddenly had that horrible feeling of, shit, have I gone on the wrong course? Because you were there and then you weren't there. And I just suddenly went, oh shit, like, I think I've gone wrong. And it wasn't until I turned a corner and saw Tom Tweddle. And I was like, ah, shit, I'm actually in second here, miles in the lead. This is great. So I just basically just keep going, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, you know, but not pushing so much so that I was going to put myself in danger of failing everything. And obviously I got through everything and everything kept coming. And I got myself to that very last section where it was a spear throw. And I didn't know at this point that Tom had missed. And he had literally only just come off his spear throw penalty loop as I threw. Yeah. And my God, I got lucky. It hit the wood about 3 inches above the floor and stuck.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I need to put a lot more into that. I think you, Brunnock, didn't you all miss it?
Yes.
So I gave myself so much of a lead and I didn't even realise this. And I got the hoist up, stupidly got to the monkey bars and just came off, didn't I? I don't even know how, why, what. Maybe again that whole, oh yeah, I've come second, slipped into the brain. Next thing I know, I'm doing burpees. I looked along the line and I could see that there was no one coming in. So, mate, I did 30 perfect burpees and then I did an extra 15 just to check because I had that much time I could.
Well, there you go. It wasn't just you that came off the monkey bars. You think the next day the guy that was in the lead, what was his name?
Yeah, I don't know what his foreign name, wasn't it, I think, but
Patrick or something.
Patrick,
like that.
Yeah, Patrick, yes. Yeah,
Patrick. So he actually came off the monkey bars and he did his burpees and I think he ended up getting penalised for burpees because him and Scott have changed in the rankings.
Yeah, I noticed that.
So, and he was leading by a little bit of a gap because he actually hit his spear on the super. Those monkey bars made a bit of a difference. But yes,
so super was interesting because, talk about super, so you go back to your Beast because you got lost, but the super was interesting because actually Patrick, funny enough, we sort of tangled legs on Twister. And at that point, it was Brunnock, you, me, Patrick, all in a nice little pack together in the lead. Yeah. And it could have been any one of us, really. I mean, that Patrick's a brilliant runner, can't carry as well. We know Brunnock's a pretty good runner, can't carry as well. You know, and we knew that we had Twister, the bucket carry, which was interesting because I don't know if it played into your mind that I was there. I don't know. But I know Brunnock said to me, I didn't want to be with Jack on the bucket because I knew that Jack would go. As it was, I got fucking failed the twister, didn't I? So I had to do a penalty loop on a twister and I saw everyone go past me. Do you know what I mean? Nitching, it's like, oh God, I've gone from being third to fucking eighth again. Do you know what I mean? Idiot, blah, blah, blah. And it was Chris Shipley and Daz that shouted to me, Jack, don't worry, you're still in it. Push hard. Fortunately, Mark Dixon came past, and I managed to just basically jump on here, the back of him, coming off the back of the penalty loop, get into the bucket carry, get that. And when I got around the corner, all you guys were doing penalty loop for the spear.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you noticed, but I thought you'd all hit the spear. So I'm going, well done, Luke. Well done. And you're like, no, I've missed, mate. I'm like, oh, I'm shit.
Yeah, it was fortunately, annoying.
I threw it and hit the spear, which actually put me back in second position.
Yeah.
Little did I know that Patrick is a little front of actually. As I come around the corner, I could see Patrick on the Z wall. I had done the block wall, got through that. Then the hoist happened. And I'm not going to leave it there because I'm not even going to talk about the bloody hoist. Because Jack somehow went from second through to eighth just like that.
The joys. But yes, so rewind a little bit. We'll go back to the beasts. Yeah, so me, you, Brunnock, pretty much close together. We weren't too far away from Tom because we saw him on the second bag carry, which was pretty crazy because I was like thinking, who's the guy in the yellow
green,
top?
Green, yellow top.
Green, yeah. Yellow zip up. I didn't realise till after the race that it was Tom. But pretty crazy. But yes, and then God knows how, some bit on a downhill, I think you guys just went around a corner before I came around another corner, and then I just went straight.
Now, let's caveat that, because I don't, like, bearing in mind, Luke, I am the worst for sense of direction. I am the worst at following tape. If anybody's going to get lost, it's normally me. I get lost going to a bloody supermarket. Do you know what I mean? Like, I didn't think the course marking was that bad.
It wasn't, what, to be fair
you,
to them.
Are you going to blame yourself or are you going to blame Spartan's course marking?
I'm not going to blame Spartan's course marking. It was probably half a dozen of the other. Maybe I switched off. I was going downhill, so I was just going fast and running. I didn't even notice the tape. I just blew past it and then I carried on and I could see white tape in the distance.
Which is obviously bear in mind, trail race.
Yes, trail race tape is red and white, whereas OCR race tape is white and red. I ran and then I was like, this doesn't look right. And then I continued running thinking, oh, around the corner there'll be the white tape. I'll just run through. I'm on a section. So it ended up being about quarter of a mile. Then I ran back up the path. Couldn't see anybody. I was like, shit, where am I? Ran down the path. Couldn't see anybody. Basically just ran up and down this path for about 6 minutes.
Yeah.
Came back on, found where I'd gone wrong. Still couldn't see anybody though. And I was like, oh my God, where's people? I was literally just behind you guys and then God knows where they've gone. So
in that situation, just for mind's sake, you need to see someone, don't you? Just so you know you're on the right area.
It wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. But then I just continued. And what I've actually worked out is I wasn't too far behind. What got me was the second time I didn't get lost, but I just didn't know where I was because I wasn't with anybody. It was through the grassy, foresty moss bit.
Yeah.
I ran in, but it was white tape and yellow tape hanging down. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it again. I'm not going wrong.
So you'd actually talked yourself out of going down the right way.
So I ran back.
So just to give that a caveat, people that did the race, I know exactly where you went wrong. After that serious uphill bit, literally we hooked a left, went uphill again where it was like a real stompy, walky bit. And then immediately there was a right-hand turn and literally it dropped down into that mossy area. And it was all downhill. I remember there's a tree root sticking out and it was literally just like a single track down into that mossy area. Because I did the same thing. I ran into that area going, I can't see anyone. What the hell is going on? Why am I not with anyone? And I actually thought I'd done the same thing at that very point.
So, yeah, literally, I kind of stopped, physically stopped, went back. And I was like, oh my God, I don't know where I am. Am I wrong? I cannot DNF. Well, it was my main thing in my mind. I cannot DNF. I need to finish this race. I need to get the points for the series. And I bumped into Ben Comrie and Richard. And I was like, oh, are we going the right way? We literally stood there and talked for about a minute. And then as I turned around through the trees, I saw Brunnock on the other side.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, okay, Brunnock's just there. I must be a loop.
Yeah.
So I just went off. I was like, right, I'm off, guys. I'm going to go. Went. So in my mind, maybe I was 5-6 minutes behind at that point, maybe a bit more. But I never caught anybody. I never caught up again.
So I remember now that part of the course basically looped back on itself because as I went through there, I remember seeing tape and going, oh, that's either where we've been or where we're going.
Yeah.
You know, and it literally turned back on itself and went round. Yeah. Definitely remember where you are now.
You went through some downhill with some uphill. Then you went through the barbed wire. Then you went back down a big hill. Then you went into the field where Trevelyan Traverse was.
Yeah.
And after that, I never caught anybody and I didn't realize where I was until Trevelyan Traverse. The guys were like,
did you not catch anyone from Traverse? So from Traverse all the way to the finish, you ran on your own?
Yeah. The whole race I ran on my own when I got lost till back on the track. So I got
that's
in.
Harsh. You know, you could have done with someone just like you could have done with Jack 6 weeks ago when he was dying just to hang on to for a little bit. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm glad I didn't hang on to Ben and Richard because I would have dropped down the points more and more, which is not ideal.
Yeah.
What I didn't know is I was ninth in that point. I'd lost 5-6 spaces. And if I'd lost one more or two more,
You would have been off the podium.
No, I would have taken 3 more to go off the podium, 2 more to drop a space.
But it just shows you that could have easily happened. And if you can you imagine if you'd run down that hill, even maybe a minute more?
Do you know what I mean? I could have been anywhere. I could have been last.
Yeah. And then you fail something, you know, like you then fail the spear. Your brain must have been going, for fuck's sake.
I didn't even realise that the spear was a penalty loop. I failed it and I went to take my headband off and she was like, no loop. And I was like, oh, love this. Yeah. Can we just have a loop every time? Because that's so much easier.
So those loops seem longer, this race. They seemed longer for me personally. Like, but a twister loop was a long way.
So much easier though.
So much easier. Definitely. Because you can keep it running up. You can keep your legs going. You can keep warm. You can keep your heart rate up. It's easy. Do you know what I mean? Easier than burpees.
But yes, so that happened and then I managed to keep it together, but yes, Wales capped off our season, 4 races. I actually personally enjoyed every venue. Jack's already said he enjoyed all the venues and stuff.
Positioning away from it all, I've actually really enjoyed the season. I haven't enjoyed my personal season, but I've enjoyed the season that we've had, definitely 100%.
Yeah, no, it's been good. Well, we've almost waffled on for about an hour.
And we do need to wrap this up. But I would like to come back and we're going to do another podcast. I would like to revisit Abu Dhabi because we know me and Luke are going out to Abu Dhabi. So I think we could almost do a podcast on that hopefully sometime soon. That would be interesting.
That would be the next one.
I've got a few things I want to talk about. And I'd quite like to talk about Henley. Has anyone, I suppose we could put the question out there, has anyone raced in Henley? What's it like? We've heard that it's as hilly. So Spartan has probably gone from being a flat English race to now over the Midlands, which is still quite up and down. We've now got three venues in the race series that's got some serious elevation in it for UK.
Yes. Well, it'll be very interesting what they do with the race series next year. Is it going to be 3 races? Is it going to be 4? Can you drop one? Can you not?
Surely it'll be 3 and then the Europeans will be separate. Surely that's the way
you would hope. But...
And do you think it'll be 3 beasts?
No. I think it'll be one of each. If it's 3, I think it'll be a beast, 2 sprint. Annoying because we'll have to wait for the sprint till the afternoon on Sunday. It will not be a morning race.
No, because everything's trifecta next year, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
And they've told us that there will definitely be some elite sprints. And there currently isn't an elite sprint in you can sign up for. So that makes you think they will be doing a series elite race.
I hope they do.
As a sprint.
Switch. I hope they do a switch and they put a beast on a Sunday and a sprint and a super on a Saturday.
That would be the way forward, but I'm not sure Spartan are that thinking like that.
And let us do the sprint first, super at the back end, and then we can all do the beast on Sunday for fun.
Or the other way, so do a super in the morning, sprint in the afternoon. I wouldn't mind an afternoon sprint. That'd be quite cool.
The last time we did that was Ireland. First year they did it.
Yeah.
And that was an elite sprint. That worked.
I know we raced two, but let's be fair, if you're racing the sprint and it's a serious race, you might not race that morning.
No.
I'm thinking lay-in. Fuck this 7 o'clock, 6 o'clock mark.
There we go. Right, guys. It's been fun reviewing the season somewhat. Like Jack said, we'll be back with another episode very shortly, looking at Abu Dhabi. But yes, we're excited to go out there, excited to race at World Champs. We'll chat soon.
Yeah, Luke, we're there. Nice one, Luke. Well done, mate.